I'd like to welcome everyone to our service this evening. For this month, we had open to be able to select our own topics. And so it gives me an opportunity to share with you some things that I've been thinking about and some things I've been working on. I'm going to ask Jeff if he will to pass out a small little trifold pamphlet deal that I've been working on along with some other things. This little pamphlet, let me start at the beginning. In November of 1982, Brother Joe Norton came to Lubbock. And his purpose for coming to Lubbock was, we were right at the time in preparing ourselves, I guess you could say, for personal work. That would be able to, that's the one-on-one or the going from house to house. And so we asked Brother Joe Norton to come into the congregation and to give us some training on personal work, because there's a way, I think, just like anything else, there's a way that we do things and there's a right way and a wrong way. And so Brother Joe Norton come in, one of the things he introduced to us was the 15 basic Bible studies. And by introducing that, he, you know, we're encouraged from time to time to memorize verses. But he taught that if you knew the verses that went with the topics of these basic Bible studies, you could go into a study with just about anybody, depending on where they were in their life as far as becoming a Christian, or maybe they were already a Christian, or maybe it was from some other denomination or something like that. This would give you an idea of where to start when you found out what phase of the Christian life an individual was in. So I took those 15 Bible studies and I used this, and let me say this first of all. Certainly wouldn't want to use anything to share with others unless you first had a confirmation or approval from the congregation. So I haven't shared this with anyone except with Casey. And here a while back, Ashley came to me. She reads a lot. She came to me and said, hey, Dad, do you have any bookmarkers? And I went in there and got one of these, and I give it to her, and she opens it up. She says, I might have known. So she has this anyway. If you look through this little pamphlet, this is basically an introduction, I guess you could say, to our congregation. The information that's on this comes from the church directory that's shared with the brotherhood. If you look there where it says the members of, on the back part, on the inside there, it says, it lists those contact people, and those contact people are the same people that's in the directory. Of course, if someone would want that changed, it would certainly have to be changed before you share it, you know, before this is shared with anyone else. The whole purpose of this deal initially was for me. I use these as bookmarkers, but not only that, I can go in, and when I think of the examples of conversion, you don't have to memorize a whole lot to just know the scripture. If you know the scripture, Brother Norton says, hey, you can open up the Bible and find that pretty easy. So I spent my time, instead of memorizing all these scriptures, trying to memorize the verses that go with each one of the topics. And that seems to work pretty well. If you look on the very back of it, it just says Church of Christ. And then I used this one incident. I remember I told everyone about the old man I met at the elevator at 6 o'clock one morning. He asked me what the letters in the word Bible stood for, and I didn't know. And he said it was basic instructions before leaving Earth. I thought that was pretty good information. So this is not complete. I noticed there's some corrections that need to be made. I just wondered if this is something that the congregation could approve, though, if this was decided on to be used later on as far as an introduction if I'm talking to someone at work or something like that, I carry these with me, but again, I haven't used them. But if I'm talking to someone, is this something that would be permissible to give to someone as an introduction of where we're at and any contact information if there was questions, and to encourage the individual basically to take to take time to read through some of this information and everything. So that's one of the things that I've been working on. Then I got to thinking about that pretty hard, and for the last couple of months, I came up with this idea that if you took these 15 Bible basic studies and you put together a little booklet and you just give enough information to where it would raise questions for the individual, for he would actually take the time to open the Bible and study it. And again, this is not complete. I've been working on this for a couple of months. Certainly I would like for some people in the congregation to take this and to criticize it, I guess is the best word that you can use. So this evening the lesson has to do basically with personal work, going from house to house, studying with individuals basically. You know, we continue to talk about the things we get caught up in our business and our personal life, and I got to tell you, for this past month or so, my personal life has been a roller coaster, to say the least. But I've had some time to think about some things that I believe to really be the most important things that we can consider. And it's crazy how personal events like this will change your way of thinking or set your thoughts in motion on things as far as what's actually going on today in my life. And so I've been reading a lot of material about our responsibility as a Christian to the church, basically. I recently read a story about a man named William Carey. Some of you may have heard of him, maybe not. He lived from 1761 to 1834. He was known as the father of modern missions. He was a shoe cobbler by trade before he went to India. He kept a map of India in his shop, stopping to study and to pray over it from time to time. Sometimes, because of his preaching ministry, his shoe business suffered. One day, a friend cautioned him for neglecting his business. Neglecting my business, he said, looking at the man intently. My business is to extend the kingdom of God. I only cobble shoes so that I can pay expenses. I began to think about this and concluded that no matter what our occupation is, every Christian should have this mentality. My real business is to extend God's kingdom. I just work to pay expenses. In other words, every Christian is in the ministry. I know that the Apostle Paul was a tent maker. Doesn't say much more about his work. I'm confident that he was a tent maker just to pay expenses. In Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12, it states that God gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It says for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. So the job of a teacher of the Church of Christ is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. If you are a saint, a holy one, which is true of every believer, then you're in the ministry. Some may be supported so that they can work full-time in their ministry. But every Christian like William Carey should see this their main business as serving God and extending the kingdom. Since that is the clear teaching of the New Testament, I become very concerned in fulfilling the ministry that God has entrusted to me. For our text this afternoon, we have 1 Timothy 4, verse 11 through verse 16. The Apostle Paul gives Timothy valuable information, encouraging him to take heed of your ministry. Before we continue, let's go to our Heavenly Father. You know, I was listening to Brother Dwayne this morning in his introduction, speaking of the lesson from Brother Ronnie Wade, and I just need to go ahead and tell you up front, I don't have anything that's my own. Everything I've ever done, it came from somewhere. The information I'm working on now, the little pamphlet and everything, came from Brother Joe Norton, and then used the Brotherhood's church directory for the information as far as the contact information. And this little pamphlet, this little booklet, the same thing, and even on the back it says who we are. That came from our website, you know. So everything come. I don't have anything. The sermon this evening, I mean, I've read through, I can't tell you how many sermons on personal work and evangelism and things like that to come up with something to present this afternoon. Hoping at one time, not so much anymore as I used to, but I used to hope that somebody would just go ahead and stand up and say, hey, why don't you sit down? But anyway, that hasn't happened, so I'll continue. When I talk about my ministry, I'm talking about personal work. The one-on-one teaching or the house-to-house. Timothy's danger was that he would just fade out of the ministry because of his timid personality. He tended to avoid any type of confrontation or any type of conflict. The fact is that I'm beginning to realize that you can't preach God's truth without confronting error and sometimes offending some people, even if you do your best to guard against it. Timothy was in danger of neglecting his ministry. In verse 14, Paul tells him, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Here's my concern. I'm not involved in any kind of ministry for the Lord. I'm talking about personal work. The truth is, personal work is a battle. And who likes to go to war? There is a tendency of the flesh to let someone else do it. Maybe your thinking is like mine. I'm not all that talented anyway. But remember the parable of the talents. It was the guy with only one that buried it and was rebuked by his master because he didn't use it for further interest of the master. If you're a Christian and have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're called to serve him in some capacity. In our text, Paul gives us a basic lesson of Christian service that will enable us to fulfill our God-given talent. Your walk with Christ is the necessary basis for your work for Christ. Pay close attention to yourself. That would be your walk, and to your teaching. That would be your work. Paul tells Timothy this in verse 16. He says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. It is the same principle Paul spoke to the Ephesians elders when he said, therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flock. Acts 20 and verse 28. First your walk and then your work. Your work for the Lord must always be the result of your walk with the Lord. Your work for the Lord will be backed by a life of integrity. You are offering to others what you have because of your life. In reality, your life that you have in Christ. We all need to learn this basic principle, that our walk with Christ is the basis for our work for Christ. two things we can learn from the instructions that the Apostle Paul gives Timothy. Number one, pay attention to your walk with Christ. And number two, pay attention to your work for Christ. Many people in the world today have fallen into the American self-centered way of life. They attend church because it meets some of their personal needs. And let me tell you, I come in contact with these people from day to day at my workplace. If it fails to meet their needs, they either shop around for another church or they just quit going altogether. They're living for self and using God in the church to help them fulfill something. Sometimes volunteering to serve in the church helps meet a need that's needful for them. But even their service has a self-focus. They do it because it meets their need. The Christian life involves denying yourself daily and living under the lordship of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, it says, "And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." So as we live each day with our hope fixed on Christ, our character is conformed to that of Christ. Then God can take our changed life and use it as an example of his saving grace so that others can come to know him also. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So personal work is not volunteering for Jesus. And it's not doing a job for the church because the church needs help. Personal work is based on dying to self and living to please God. God never calls us to a task. He calls us to himself. Before I can do something for God, I must be something in relationship with God. And I can only offer to others in personal work what I possess from the life that I live. So the most important thing I can do and develop God is to develop godliness through the daily discipline of a life looking to the Lord. Paul tells Timothy, even if you're younger in years, you can still have a ministry if a godly life backs your message. Paul mentions five areas concerning this godly life: speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Beginning with speech, Paul says, be an example to the believers in word. The question we need to ask ourselves, has our tongue been tamed by the power of God's Spirit? As James chapter 3 tells us, the tongue can be an instrument of great evil, or it can be an instrument of great good, depending on whether it is under the control of the flesh or under the control of the Spirit. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 commands, let no corrupt, literally rotten word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. There is no place for name-calling, for sarcasm, profanity, ridicule, gossip, blaming, destructive criticism, angry words of threat and revenge, griping, complaining, lying, filthy talk, or dirty jokes. Instead, a godly person will use words to build up others. Next, it's conduct. The King James Version says conversation. This is a reference to our lifestyle. This points to our behavior, which should testify to our commitment to Jesus. Honesty, integrity, how we spend our time and our money, what our priorities are, our attitude toward possessions, our personal appearance, the way we treat other people. All of these factors should add up to show that Christ is the Lord of our life. Next, there is love. Just recently, we talked about brotherly love. Biblical love is self-sacrificing. It's a caring commitment which shows itself in seeking the highest good for the one that is loved. Since the highest good for each person is that they glorify God in their lives, love is committed to help each person grow in submission to Christ. Paul spells out the qualities of this type of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Next, we have faith. The reference says that this could point to faithfulness or reliability, which is a fruit of the Spirit, or it could point to the faith that we have in God. We call ourselves believers, but are we converted? Are we believing believers? To carry on any significant personal work, we must be men and women of faith. We've leaned upon God in our own trials and have proved Him to be faithful. So we can ask and trust God to work in our lives to those that we go to and to those that we share the gospel with. Next, there is purity. This means moral purity. Not just outwardly, but in the thoughts and also in the mind. Sexual immorality always begins in the mind. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, walking with Christ means bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And as soon as a wrong thought pops into our mind, we are to confess of it and turn again and turn from it. In Romans 13 and verse 4, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So our walk with Christ is the necessary basis for any work we do for Christ. Since the Lord wants every member in the body to function in serving Him, we must pay attention to our conduct, our conversation, and our lifestyle. We don't have to have these qualities in perfection before we start serving the Lord as some think. But we do need to be growing in each area, bringing every aspect of our life into submission to Christ. Paul tells Timothy in verse 16, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Notice the importance of the ministry of the word in the church assembly in verse 13. Reading it, applying it to life. That would be exhortation and teaching it. Paul exhorts Timothy not to neglect his gift in verse 14, to give yourself entirely to them in verse 15, and to persevere in it in verse 16, which implies that it won't be easy and it won't be automatic. God has given everyone at least one gift. A spiritual gift may be defined as a God-given ability for service. While there is a lot of debatable aspects about spiritual gifts, it is significant that in each of the four New Testament scriptures dealing with spiritual gifts, it is stated that every believer has one. Listen, Romans 12, verse 3 and verse 6. For I say, though the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Ephesians 4, and verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So no one's been left out. We may not have miraculous gifts, but we all have been given at least one talent. We must exercise and develop it to serve the living God. Our talents must be accompanied by godliness. When godliness backs our talent, they can then be exercised with confidence that your faith in God and that you're doing what He wants you to do. So, when opposition comes, and it will surely come, we don't quit in anger or in frustration, but we persevere. Paul told Timothy in verse 1, "These things command and teach." He is saying, Timothy, exercise your gift with confidence and with authority, backed by your godly life. And in verse 16, persevere when opposition comes. This is especially true when talking to others about the Bible or preaching God's Word. You can't always be a people pleaser and speak the truth of the Bible. The Bible isn't God's handbook of helpful hints for a happy life. The Bible gives us God's sure truth, His commandments for our life. It confronts sin and it confronts selfishness. I'm realizing that sharing the Bible with others is not a time to beat around the bush. This applies to every talent when a person is growing in godliness. If your life is in Christ, then you have a vital contribution to make to His body. We should never do it with arrogance or confidence in ourselves. The point is, God wants to use us to share something of Christ to others. Paul tells Timothy in verse 16, "You will save both yourself and those who hear you." Those who are saved will persevere, and they will influence others to be saved also. And as we grow in godliness and exercise our talents faithfully as unto the Lord, He will use us in the salvation of those who are lost. In closing, there is a question. How can we work for the Lord if we're not walking with the Lord? If you have placed your trust in Christ and you're in Christ and you are in the ministry, we are all responsible to exercise the talent or talents that are given to us by God. To do this, we must pay close attention to our walk with Christ. That is our foundation. And we must pay attention to the work that we do for Christ. Let us not neglect the talent or the gift that has been entrusted to us. Think about this. How would this church be different if every member viewed himself or herself as a minister of Christ? How godly does a person need to be to get involved in the ministry? How important is it to know what your talent really is? What difference does it make? If there's anyone that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come while we stand in circle.